the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. We're so glad you're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Friday, girl. Friday. And I tell you what, we're ready for the weekend. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely. More than ever.
We've got a good show in store, and we're going to always lead out with a prayer. So here we go. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls, reparation for sin, the reunion of all Christians. I offer them for all the intentions of our bishops and of all the remembrance of the apostleship of prayer, and in particular for the intentions of our Holy Father. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Blessed Peter Gonzalez, pray for us. We'll be hearing more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're starting off with some events in our listening area. That is coming up in 8 minutes, so stay tuned for that. In 18 minutes, we have Father Alex Harb. He joins Damian in our Baton Rouge studio. He's a Maronite priest, and he's going to be talking about the St. Charbel Maronite Mission's new church. They are very excited about this, so he'll give us details about that and their goal and their need currently. So looking forward to hearing from Father Harb later on. In 35 minutes, we have Laura Pelaliz. She's a producer of the film Mirando al Cielo. Mirando al Cielo. I'm going to say it a little bit slowly.
A little slower? What was that?
Mirando al Cielo. So looking at the sky, looking up at the sky. Okay. It's a new film, and we're going to learn a little bit about St. Jose Sanchez del Rio. So we're going to hear more from Laura. And I've been hearing a lot of press about this movie. It's really making waves and changing a lot of people's lives and just making a positive impact on a lot of people. And we're going to learn more about this saint. I have actually never heard of this saint before. So there's so many out there. I love hearing a little bit more about these wonderful saints. And in 48 minutes, of course, we can't have an every other Friday without Terry Dixon, director of the Office of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi and editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. He'll give us an update of what you're going to be finding in this week's issue in the Diocese of Biloxi. So looking forward to today's show. And Damian, looking forward to that weather report. What do you have for us?
Well, sunny skies today with a few clouds here and there, but overall should be a very nice day. High, in fact, is going to be 84. The low 64. As of tomorrow, we won't be as fortunate, as we may see thunderstorms move into our listening area, producing as much as an inch of rain, and at the same time, gusty winds, 90% chance of rain in the forecast. Winds 10 to 15 miles an hour are expected. Highs should be 79, low 62. And then on Sunday, it's going to give way to sunny skies again, but it's going to be a little cooler. It'll be 73 for the highs. So overall, should be a nice weekend. Get out to the French Quarter Festival, catch a baseball game. LSU won big last night, 16-6 over Kentucky in an SEC matchup. They play again this evening. Temperatures in and around the area at this very moment in Gulfport at 61, over on the North Shore 58, while in New Orleans it's 64 degrees, home at Thibodeau, a little chilly, 55 degrees, as well as in Baton Rouge, it's 56. Right now, it's 5 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning on Wake Up. Don't go away, we have some events we want to share with you in just a moment.
Thank you. Blessed Friday within the octave of Easter. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is taken from John chapter 21. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel focuses on the self-revelation of the risen Jesus to the apostles. St. John emphasizes this point by framing his account with the use of the verb revealed in both the first and the last verse of the passage. Jesus' appearance occurs at the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. This site recalls the multiplication of loaves and fish, along with the Eucharistic discourse that followed. They all took place along that same lake. In both accounts, Jesus provides food to those in need. And so John uses two narrative threads to capture our attention. A group of apostles led by Peter were fishing throughout the night, but Jesus was not with them. Our Lord previously taught them, "Without me you can do nothing." So it is not surprising that they caught nothing. Implied here is the vital lesson that we will only be able to fulfill our mission, just as they can only fulfill their mission as fishers of men, if they rely on the risen Jesus. But then, in the light of the dawn, Jesus asks if they have caught anything. Their negative response highlights their failure. But Jesus provides a superabundance. For when they obediently cast their net on the right side of the boat, the catch was so great that they were not able to pull it into the boat. Jesus commands them to bring the catch to him, which Peter was able to do single-handedly. This recalls Peter's special role of bringing disciples to Christ while preserving the unity of Christ's church. The meal that Jesus provides for his apostles has Eucharistic overtones. John's depiction of Jesus' actions, namely, that he took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish, recalls both the multiplication of loaves and fish and the consecration of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. The wedding banquet of the Lamb is the Eucharist, the amazing sacrament of Jesus' real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. For whoever eats this bread will live forever. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and Reflection. It is 12 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up with us this morning. Well, we have some events in your listening area we will give you details about. This one is quite interesting. It's happening over at St. Agnes Catholic Church on Saturday, April 15th at 9 a.m. Are you tired of confessing the same sins over and over? We'll get to the root cause of the problem on Saturday, April 15th. Father Brent Mayer will present Root Sin, Understanding Our Frequent Faults, in the church following 8 a.m. Mass. The talk will include what root sin is, why it's helpful to know about it, and what to do about it. So again, Saturday, April 15th at 9 a.m. You can go to stagnesbr.com or ccmedia.live. We also have this event on our events calendar.
Boy, I hope he hears confession after that.
I know, me too.
Yeah, I think that would be nice. Also, Divine Mercy Sunday is this Sunday. Right, Gabby?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
there's going to be a solemn celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday at St. Joseph Catholic Church in downtown New Orleans, actually on Tulane Avenue. In fact, mm-hmm. the Most Reverend Alfred Hughes is going to be the celebrant and homilist, and he is great. 1 o'clock, they're going to have the Sacrament of Reconciliation, speaking of confession. Then at 2 o'clock, Eucharistic Adoration and Rosary. That will be followed by the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And, of course, Mass follows that with the first-class relic of St. Faustina after the Mass being a blessing. So that is a wonderful event, basically from 1 to 4:30, again, at St. Joseph Catholic Church on Tulane Avenue. If you want more information, you can go to our website, ccmedia.live.
Yes, most definitely. Well, happening on Sunday, April 16th at 7 p.m. at St. Francis of Assisi in New Orleans, Live with Passion with Father Cedric Pesena. Missions sessions are Sunday, April 16th, Monday, April 17th, and Tuesday, April 18th. All sessions begin at 7 p.m. And I'm sorry, that's Live with Passion, not Live with Passion. Live with Passion on Sunday, April 16th. You can find all of these events on our website at ccmedia.live and more. And Damien, you can also submit an event on our website at ccmedia.live.
Yeah.
And click on Events and News, and you can check that out and submit as many events as possible that you have. And a lot of people have been submitting their Easter mission events, so that's been a great one as well. So lots of stuff coming up, your seafood festivals for Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July festivals. Send them all to us on our website. It's absolutely free.
Yeah, we'll be glad to help you promote it. Okay, folks, it is 15 after the hour. It's time to get it going. Weekend's about ready to start, but right now it's Friday and you're listening to Wake Up. We got Father Alex Harb coming your way in just a moment.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 14th. Today we celebrate Blessed Peter Gonzalez. St. Paul had a conversion experience on the road to Damascus. Many years later, the same proved true for Peter Gonzalez. Triumphantly riding his horse into the Spanish city of Astorga in the mid-1300s to take up an important post at the cathedral, the animal stumbled and fell, leaving Peter in the mud and onlookers amused. Humbled, Peter reevaluated his motivations. His bishop uncle had secured the cathedral post for him and started down a new path. He became a Dominican priest and proved to be a most effective preacher. He spent much of his time as court chaplain and attempted to exert positive influence on the behavior of members of the court. After King Ferdinand III and his troops defeated the Moors at Cordoba, Peter was successful in restraining the soldiers from pillaging and persuaded the king to treat the defeated Moors with compassion. After retiring from the court, Peter devoted the remainder of his life to preaching in northwest Spain. He died in 1246 and was beatified and named the patron of sailors in 1741. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And welcome back to Wake Up. It is 19 after the hour. Happy Friday morning, everyone. Damian Colano along with Gabby Smith. And with us now in studio, Father Alex Harb, a Maronite priest, here to talk about Saint Charbel, I wanted to say Father Charbel, who I also know, but Saint Charbel Maronites Mission and a new church that is being formed here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
Yeah, we're very excited. I am serving the mission of Saint Charbel here in Louisiana. I'm in different cities all across the state, but most of the time I'm here in Baton Rouge. And we've been hoping and looking and searching for several years to be able to buy a property of our own. We had a property. Some of you may have seen it out on Antioch Road. And in the 2016 flood, they kind of redrew the flood lines, and that property became untenable for us.
Oh.
They said, oh, you have to raise the land 8 feet to be able to build anything on it. And they said, and parking lot, you have to raise the parking lot 8 feet. I said, what do you mean the parking lot? We won't park there if it's raining. And they said, no, you have to. So we found a property on Jefferson Highway.
Okay.
And it has a room for a church, a room for a hall, room for classrooms, room for kitchen, on Old Jefferson out by Houshatou Road.
Okay.
And this is going to surprise a few people what it used to be used for. It was an old Masonic lodge.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're going to convert that and bless it in a special way.
Yes, yes. So, you know, the bishop will do all of the blessing, the consecrating, right, whatever else needs to be done. And so it's really a perfectly designed building for our needs. The church sanctuary will hold about 200 to 250 people. The hall will hold about 150 people. And then there's five or six classrooms. So
nice.
It's really set up perfect for us.
Well, that's great. Now, how much did it cost, if you don't mind me asking? And is it already paid for?
So it costs $485,000 is what we're under contract for. And
okay,
we currently have raised, through 43 donors, $142,000. So we are able to finance, you know, most of it out, but anything that we can do to get closer to a third, which is about $165,000, $165,000, anything that we can do to get closer to that goal would really help us. Anything else above that, we can start putting toward renovations, toward putting windows, and we're developing opportunities to have people have memorial windows and have memorial pieces of art and memorial stones and all of this. So we really want to see if we can get the help from people across Baton Rouge, across Louisiana, to make this a possibility, because it's so important for us to understand how big the Catholic Church is. Right, to understand that when Jesus came and the apostles came, there wasn't just one gospel, right? There wasn't just one epistle, but you have all of these different epistles. You have four gospels. The four gospels each tell us something different about Jesus Christ. They each give us a more full picture of who God is and how God loves us. And so in the same way, these churches, which go all the way back to the apostles, give us something of an insight, even older than the Gospels, about who God is, who Jesus is, how God wants to save us, how God wants to love us. And so it's so beautiful and so enriching for it, for a local community, when we have options, when we can say, oh, let's go and see the Maronite Church, the Coptic Church, the Chaldean Church, the Sierra Malankara Church, the Ukrainian Church, the Greek Church. Let's go see the Italo-Albanian Church. Let's go see the Melkite Church. Let's go see this more full vision of what it means to be the bride of Christ, what it means to be in relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. So how is there anything majorly different that the Maronite Church does differently than what you might find in a diocesan church?
Yeah, so there are a few differences. One that people will notice is we use a lot of incense. We chant almost everything.
Okay.
Traditionally, a Maronite priest would chant his homilies.
Really?
So the whole thing would be written in poetry, and that this was a sign of an excellent theologian and an excellent orator that he could compose a chanted homily.
Jeez.
And so we have collections, hundreds and hundreds of these chanted homilies that have been collected over time that you could put to meter, that we have the melodies to. many of which have been translated into English. We have these theologians going all the way back to the 4th century, St. Ephrem, St. Aphrahat, St. Jacob of Sarug. And so to be able to have these poems that share with us, and the way that they talk about God is a little bit different in the Roman Church. The Roman Church likes everything very clear. Let's talk about one subject. Let's go step by step. If you look at, say, Thomas Aquinas or St. Augustine, let's look at one topic. Let's go step by step. Let's exhaust this topic and then move on to the next topic. Well, in the Maronite Church and in other Syriac churches, the way that we do it is we say, well, it's impossible to separate Christ's church from Christ. It's impossible to separate who Christ is from how he's trying to save us. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to separate how he's trying to save us from the history of salvation. It's impossible to separate the history of salvation from how we understand the scriptures. It's impossible to separate how we understand the scriptures from what creation is. It's impossible to separate what creation is from who God is. It's impossible to separate who God is from why he created the different angels in different ways. It's impossible to separate all of these different things. And so we see what in the academic circles they're calling interdisciplinary studies. This is what they were doing 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago, 1,800 years ago, 1,700 years ago in the Maronite church, in the Syriac churches. They were doing these interdisciplinary theological studies to show the unity of all of this beauty coming together. So, for example, there's this one prayer. O Lord, as you rested on your cross, this is, we pray it while we're going to sleep. O Lord, as you rested on your cross, you cried out, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. We therefore commend our hands into your spirit, O Lord, tonight and all the days of our lives, but especially at the hour of our death, represented now by our sleep. To you we abandon our bodies, thoughts, feelings, and all that we are. Keep us without stain, that we may stand before you who neither slumbers nor sleeps. So we talk about the crucifixion. We talk about our own sleep. We talk about life and death in general. We talk about the Trinity. We talk about the eternity of God. All of these different theological elements mixed together. Yeah. And to separate them, we would say, would separate us from this very idea.
Hmm.
So I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, we're down to about a minute and a half. And I want to make sure people understand the whole purpose of the mission that you are going around the state helping, educate people on.
So we're bringing people as if a fifth gospel, right? But we're bringing people another Catholic church, the Eastern Catholic Church. There's 23 Eastern Catholic churches. There's okay. One Western Catholic Church, which most people are familiar with, all in communion with the Pope. All in communion. Pope Francis, when he was a bishop, used to celebrate Maronite Masses. All of this going together. And if somebody could come, they could receive communion. It would be their Sunday obligation. And so what I want to do is tell people about our website, yes. Charbel, charbel.org, charbel.org/donate. And it'll show them pictures of the property, give them links to videos of the property. And if they would be generous enough to donate, we would love and thank them so much for that.
How many Maronite priests are in the state of Louisiana that you're aware of?
So there are two Maronite priests who are celebrating Maronite Masses regularly. But as I understand, there's at least five.
Okay. Well, great. And we appreciate you being a part of the diocese, bringing a different form of the church that we can understand better face-to-face. Will you be having Masses at the new location soon?
Yes, we'll be having Masses there. Currently, we have Masses at the Catholic Life Center on Acadian and Hundred Oaks on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. We're there every Sunday.
Okay. And how soon do you feel like you'll be ready to move into the facility overall?
Hopefully within 3 months.
Okay. Well, that's great. And again, if they want to donate, what's the website?
Charbel, charbel.org/donate.
Okay. Now, you travel across the state?
Yes.
All right. Are you residing here in Baton Rouge?
I reside in Baton Rouge, but I've been to New Orleans, Lafayette, the North Shore, Lake Charles, Monroe, Alexandria.
Wow.
So you've covered all the major cities. And what's the biggest question you get before this is how we're going to wrap up? What's the one question you get that people always seem to ask you?
So people always ask, I don't understand. Are you Catholic? If we're Catholic, why are we different?
Yeah.
Well, even if you go from one parish to another, right, within the Diocese of Baton Rouge, go across the street to a different parish, you'll find that there's some small differences. And it's not that one church is doing it wrong and one church is doing it right. It's that God is so big, God is so incredible, that no one expression, that no one prayer, that no one homily can fully explain how vast his love is for us.
And wonderful. And you're so right about that. And it's time we broaden our scope a little bit and learn a little bit more about the Maronite.
Thank you. God bless you, and God bless all the listeners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. We'll learn more, go to charbel.org/donate. In the meantime, you're listening to Wake Up. It's 30 after the hour on Friday.
It is 35 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Laura Pelaez. She's a producer of the film Mirando al Cielo, which is Looking at the Sky. And it's a film about Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio. Laura, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here with you.
That I've been getting so many emails about this film, Mirando al Cielo. I've been seeing it on social media. So tell us a little bit about this powerful film on this saint I actually don't know much about.
Oh, well, thank you. See, it is a story. It is a great story from Mexico. We have wonderful stories. And it's a story of a boy, a 14-year-old boy, who goes to the, we could say, guerrilla, when the church was persecuted in Mexico in 1926. And so this family from Sahuayo first had two kids going to the Cristiada, and then their little boy, he was 13 when he left, and he went because he said, when he asked permission to go with the Cristeros, he told his parents, it has never been so easy to earn heaven. So it is amazing how a 13-year-old, it is so sure about his faith that he's willing to go and risk his life and say it has never been so easy to earn heaven. So he goes to the Cristiada, and his weapon was his rosary. He didn't carry a gun. So he helped everybody. He cleaned horses and helping all the things he was needed to. But later on, they had so many casualties in the war, so he is called as a... He takes the flag and the horn, the cornet, or I don't know how is it called, and he goes to the battle. And in a heroic act, his general loses his horse, it's killed, so he gives his horse to his general, and he gets caught. And the paradoxic part of the story is that he's taken to his town, and his godfather is the one who has his life in his hands. Mm-hmm. So it is an amazing story because, of course, the godfather like tries to save him, but his values are first his work and then his faith. Even though he was very close to his godson, but he puts his work before everything else. So he tries to torture him so he could deny God, but he doesn't. So this is a movie that you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, but you're going to feel renewed when the finish is moved. So we had just yesterday a screening, and it was amazing, the reaction of the people. That I said, you're going to laugh and you're going to cry. And a lady said, you were right, Laura. We laughed a lot, but there were times that I couldn't hold my tears on. So the most challenging part of the director was that it was a tragedy. It's the life of a martyr, but yet you get out of the movies renewed. Mm-hmm. Because it has a lot of redemption in the movie. So we really invite you to watch this movie because it's a great story of love, of faith, of courage. So I really invite you to go on Tuesday. It'll be all over America. And the easiest way to find out which theaters are is go to the website mirandoalcielo.mx, and then you will find a banner who says get your tickets, and you click there and you can find out which city, which theater is closest to your place. So we really invite you to
You and your husband are both producers to this film, Mirando al Cielo. What inspired you to tell this story of this young saint?
Yeah, my husband, Antonio, he is a writer and the director. I'm the producer. And when he found about the story of Jose, he says, everybody has to know this story because it is a young boy, and teenage and young people needs real heroes, not video game heroes or superheroes. that's how the examples we have now. So he said, "This story has to be known for many, many, many peoples to see the beliefs of something." I think we're having persecution in a way. We're not gonna ask. There are places that they are asking for their lives if they don't deny. I don't think we are in that position that right now, but sometimes we should. We're not going to give the life, but we're going to stand on and say, I believe, I trust God. And the example of Jose Sanchez del Rio that believes in Christ's promises, it is a great example. And it's not for young people only, because we can see that behind every saint there is a family who teaches. Mm-hmm.
What miracles, Laura? I'm trying to get as much time as possible. We could continue on for another segment. What miracles are attributed to Saint Jose?
I know a lot of miracles, but the miracle that took him to the altar, for which he was canonized, it was a 1 month baby. He was taken to the hospital because she was very sick, and they had to have an operation of her lungs, and then she got a head. The thing that you get water in your head, I don't know how you call it in English, but after 2 months in the hospital, she was declared dead, brain dead. So they told the mother they were going to disconnect her, and she said, she's not going to die. She's not dead. I asked Our Lady and Joselito to keep her for me. So when they went to disconnect her, the mother asked to be there. The doctors didn't want, because they said it was a very painful moment, because even though she was dead, at the moment they disconnect her, it was very hard. So she said, I'm going to be there because my baby's not going to die. And when they disconnect her, the baby opened her eyes and smiled.
Mm. Wow.
And in 80, the same day, they made tests, and 85% of her brain was totally recovered.
My goodness.
She's 14 now. She was 3 months by then, and she's 14 now. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And we have heard so many things. Once you get involved in something, you start hearing things. And many people get close to us and said, he's done so many things for me. Many people call him my boy. Call him Joselito, but many people said, oh, I call him my boy because he's my boy. I have asked him many things, and he always gets them from me.
I love that. Laura Pelaez, producer of the film Mirando al Cielo, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I hope you go see the movie and enjoy it.
Definitely check it out at fathomevents.com. I'll post a link in the comment section for Wake Up Friday. It's the first post you'll see today after the show.
Minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to Wake Up, tuning your heart to the truth. With us now, Terry Dixon, Director of the Office of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi, and he's also editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper, and here to give us his regular update. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. You ready for the weekend?
I am ready for the weekend. I'm always ready for the weekend.
So am I. Well, let's talk about some of the articles in particular the Gulf Pine has, and you've done a great job, as always, putting this publication together. Right there on the front page, new director for evangelization.
Yes, sir. Ray Lacey, who is currently our director of the Office of Youth Ministry, is transitioning into the role of director of evangelization. He will guide parishes, schools, ministries, students, families, parishioners, and staff members to grow as disciples of Jesus and enable them to form disciples to share the gospel of Jesus.
Very good. And then also another article, you have information on how people can donate. Boy, you guys were hit, when I say you guys, Mississippi in particular, with tornadoes a couple weeks back. And now you've got a nice way of sharing with everyone the relief that is available by way of Catholic Charities in South Mississippi in particular.
Yes, sir. The areas that were primarily hit were in the Diocese of Jackson. But you can go online and make contributions via Catholic Charities USA at catholiccharitiesusa.org. You can also go to catholiccharities.jackson.org, or you can mail a check or whatever you want to mail to the Catholic Charities of South Mississippi, and that address is 1450 North Street in Gulfport. Or if you even drop by there, they'll get the check to the proper people.
Terry, did you have a chance to go firsthand and take a look at any of the damage? And have they even come up with an estimate yet of how destructive the tornadoes were?
I have not. That's probably about 5 hours north of us.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't had the opportunity to go up there, and I can't give you an exact figure on the damage. I remember when a smaller tornado or tornadoes hit in our diocese up in the Bassfield area, and the destruction then was just, you know, unbelievable. So I can only imagine what it's like up in Rolling Fork and the other areas that were hit by tornadoes recently.
Yeah, and I know you guys do communicate and work hand in hand. We will definitely continue to keep them in our prayers. I know after a week or two goes by, you almost forget about the, you know, what they experienced, but we can't because the rebuilding is just starting.
Well, we went through Katrina, you know, and there are areas that are still rebuilding after Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to last a long time. So they're going to need lots of help. They're going to need lots of prayers. And, you know, this is one way that you can reach out and help our neighbors up in Rolling Fork in the Mississippi Delta.
You bet. There's another article that you wanted to touch on in regards to a celebration taking place at St. Anne Church in Claremont. Is it Claremont Harbor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The Holy Infant Triduum and Feast Day Celebration. The Triduum will be held at St. Anne Church in Claremont Harbor. That's on Lower Bay Road. That's April 19th through the 21st. Each evening will begin with adoration at 6 p.m., rosary at 6:30 p.m., and mass at 7 p.m. And then it'll culminate with a big feast day celebration on Saturday, April 22nd, with a procession at 3:45 p.m. and a mass at 4 p.m. None other than Bishop Lewis Kinneman will be the celebrant at that mass, and a fiesta will follow. So if you want to take part in the fiesta, you need to RSVP the parish at 228-467-5128.
Repeat that number one more time, a little slower. That way people can jot that down.
228-467-5128.
Very good. And Gabby loves fiestas. There's a good chance you may see her there this weekend. Now, we know that Divine Mercy Sunday is coming up. It's this Sunday, as a matter of fact. A couple of articles in the Gulf Pine touching on the importance of Divine Mercy and the beauty of it.
Absolutely. Father Adam Urbaniak, who is a native of Poland, gives a very descriptive story about Divine Mercy Sunday, the origins of Divine Mercy Sunday, and how we can observe Divine Mercy Sunday. And then Bishop Kinneman talks about Divine Mercy moments that he has experienced and that we all have experienced. We may just not know that they were Divine Mercy moments, but I would encourage you to read both of those columns. And if I may add one more thing, we have something that would be wonderful for you, Damien, and that's the next Young at Heart meeting at St. John the Evangelist Church in Gulfport on April 20th in the parish hall at noon. So there will be food, companionship, and bingo.
Is there an age demographic that you're shooting for this Young at Heart?
I'm sure there is, but I don't have it here. As long as you're young at heart, you know, that's all that matters.
Well, then it definitely applies to me, for sure.
It does.
Also, speaking of some key events, and we always like to touch on that before we wrap up, and that's usually on page two, but the Most Holy Trinity is having Divine Mercy Mass as well as confession. And I want to point that out because some people may want to attend that special day.
Mm-hmm. So Most Holy Trinity is up on Kiln DeLille Road, and they're having that on Sunday. Confessions from 2 to 3. Mass at 3, and the gospel choir will sing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to point out. Hey, I know that's going to be beautiful, and that's in Pass Christiane, right?
It is.
Okay.
North of the interstate.
And one other event in Pass Christiane is the Healing Mass coming up next Friday, April 21st.
Our Mother of Mercy Parish in Pass Christiane will host a Healing Mass on Friday at 5 p.m., and that is located at 216 Socher Avenue.
There you go. Terry, anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Absolutely. St. Mary Parish in Goshen is having its second annual Indian dinner. The pastor, Father Arokia Das, there you go. He will be cooking a variety of food from India, and that'll be Saturday, April 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the Activity Center. Tickets are $25 for adults and $15 for seniors and children under 12.
And
you can get tickets by calling 228-497-2364.
And Father's going to be preparing all the meals.
He'll have some help, but he's doing the majority of the work. He did it last year.
That is fantastic. That'll be fun.
you should come. Gabby, you love Fiesta, so you should come.
Yeah, me too. Well,
Gabby and I'll have to check our calendars. We may show up, I tell you. I don't eat much Indian food, so this would be almost a first for me. I think I've had it only once in my entire life. So
this will be twice then.
Yeah. Terry Dixon, Gulf Pine editor, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend, brother.
Thank you. You all have a great weekend as well.
All right. Well, time to wrap up with prayer, so we'll do just that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you are the source of all life because you are life itself. Your resurrection gives us hope of being raised from the dead to rejoice with you forever in heaven. Lord, grant me the grace to seek your mercy and to offer it to others. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
That's a perfect prayer for Divine Mercy Sunday approaching in just a few days. But thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.